your chance this hour to get registered for a shot to win Royals Fan Fest. Four passes to that next weekend, plus a hotel stay in Kansas City, plus $100 worth of Jack Stack barbecue. Be listening. We'll register somebody today and each day of the week and give it away on Friday. Mitch just brought up in the update the Big 12 hoops from last night, Kansas and Iowa State. I think big picture takeaway from that game, there are three teams at the top of the Big 12, then a gap, and then a lot of teams that look very similar. Kansas, West Virginia, and Baylor, I think, are a cut above everybody else. Iowa State is firmly in that group with TCU, K-State, Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. They've already lost to TCU. They were really controlled last night by Kansas. I know the final score looks a lot closer than what it actually was, and they rallied by hitting some threes late, but it reminded me a lot of the K-State-Baylor game in terms of how far away Iowa State was for most of the game and the second half of that. And the other thing that really struck me while watching that, to the point of there's just this group of seven teams outside of the top three that on any given night certainly can beat each other, and just it will probably come down to who wins more close games, who wins more road games to see who actually finishes fourth there in the Big 12. Iowa State is almost identical to K-State to me in watching them. They seem very similar to what K-State has here. They're both teams that really just have a seven-man rotation, five guys averaging double figures for K-State. Iowa State's got four with somebody averaging eight. Neither team really has a whole lot inside. Iowa State's got the 1'6'8 kid, the Bowie kid. K-State's got DJ Johnson, better offensively than defensively. They have almost identical numbers in offense and defense and conference play up to this point. A lot of close losses. Iowa State's lost four games by 4 points or less. I don't need to rattle everything off K-State-wise to you in that department. They're just very, very similar, much like TCU, much like Texas Tech. We saw how close K-State was to Texas Tech on the road. There is not a whole lot separating all those teams at this point in time.
A couple weeks ago, probably as recently as a couple weeks ago, I said that the Big 12 was, you know, your top three and then your bottom seven. I don't know, to gauge your interest on this, are we ready to wave the white flag on Texas and Oklahoma at this point and maybe look at the Big 12 as a top three, a middle five, and a bottom two? Because I think that if you're K-State or any of those teams in that middle five, you're looking at your path to the NCAA tournament as including going 4-0 against Texas and Oklahoma. I think that you've got to sweep those games or for sure go at least 3-1 to still be in consideration because of how much that middle five is going to beat up on each other with all these close games.
Okay, that is fair. I will say it from the standpoint of finishing fourth in the Big 12 standings, no, I will not write off Oklahoma and Texas. Making the NCAA tournament, yeah, they're the two that are written off. And that's just simply because of how many games they lost non-con-wise, what their overall records are right now. I mean, they'll both be lucky to finish 500, 1-7-9, 1-7-10. So, yes, I write them off from the tournament discussion, but I still think they're basically in that same group of teams that can jump up and beat anybody on any given night. Oklahoma just smacked around Texas Tech this weekend. I watched a good chunk of that game. I mean, they controlled Texas Tech, albeit in Norman, but that's exactly the point there. I mean, Oklahoma was totally game to knock off Texas Tech. So that's how I would phrase the bottom part of the league right now in the way it stands. I don't know that I would say Iowa State is the favorite of the group to me if I were going to handicap it at this point in time, but I will say they have one thing that K-State doesn't that I think puts them just a slight tick above the Wildcats right now in terms of where my confidence would be at where they finish, and that is a go-to guy. And this is back to what Cole was talking about. I thought he was, you know, very astute in bringing this up because we were going to talk about it later on in the show here, but K-State does not have a go-to guy like Iowa State has Monte Morris. When they went to Oklahoma State last week and won in Stillwater, it was a close game, and then Morris just took over down the stretch. He had 16 points in the second half and was just making every key play when they really needed it. There's no doubt who the ball is going to be in his hands at the end of a game for Iowa State. It's Monte Morris. K-State, there is a problem right now with what you do in those situations. I think K-State and Iowa State, as I said, are very similar teams. They're both going to be in a lot of close games. K-State is, I think, as game as Iowa State in terms of putting themselves in position to win a lot of games and the same games that Iowa State would be in. But do you have someone that you can trust to make the plays down the stretch to actually win more of those games than you lose? And that's where I think Iowa State has the upper hand.
And that's where I think K-State really has to develop, specifically with Wesley Iwundu. I do think that right now Dean Wade is probably your best option at the end of the game. You could make a case for DJ Johnson if you really need to get to the basket or get to the foul line, something like that. But Iwundu has quietly had a really big split between K-State's wins and K-State's losses this year. I was just looking at it. And by the way, just for clarification, I threw out the KU game from these statistics completely because that is a game that K-State as a team played maybe its best game of the year, but it was a loss. So I went ahead and excluded that. But Wesley Iwundu is shooting 32% in K-State's losses. He's shooting 47% in K-State's wins. Basically, up and down the chart, statistically, you want to look at it, he's been a lot better in K-State's wins than its losses. And that has definitely been the case against Texas Tech and Baylor when he scored 15 points combined in those two games. So I think it starts with Wesley Iwundu, not just what he's doing scoring the ball, but distributing and taking care of the ball.
Well, I would love for Wesley Iwundu to prove me wrong and hit a couple game-winning shots, turn into that guy that they really have confidence going to down the stretch. But I think right now the only reason that they are going to him down the stretch and putting the ball in his hands is just by simple necessity. And it's the process of elimination that Cole and I went through on air, and that is that he's the guy that they trust the most to handle the ball in clutch situations, and it's been that way literally since he was a freshman. That last team that went to the tournament when he was a freshman, they were putting the ball in his hands when they had to bring it down the court, key possessions against Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's how it has been. So because of that, you trust him more with the ball than you do your guards, Barry Brown and Kamau Stokes, just in terms of being able to handle it. So he's going to start with it. And then if you're trying to run something like to a Dean Wade and they cover that up, I mean, then it just turns into Wesley Iwundu has to slash, he has to drive, and that's how you pigeonhole yourself into those situations. So if he takes a big step there, I'll be all for it. But we're going on 3.5 years now of really seeing him not be able to do that. And I don't think that's a knock on Wesley Iwundu. I think asking him to be the go-to guy and the most important guy on the team in the way that you're setting it up here is just not fair. I don't think that's what Wesley Iwundu is. I think Wesley Iwundu is a very good Big 12 player, but a very good complementary player. A starter, a guy who could be honorable mention all Big 12 playing his role, just great. But he should not be the guy that is your primary scorer or somebody that you're relying on to make the plays in the clutch. He's got to be a secondary option there. He can lock down people defensively. He can help you out distributing. I'm even fine with him playing point forward, helping out with some ball handling, but he should not be the guy that is having to get you buckets in a clutch situation there, unless it happens because he is one of the secondary options.
I'm probably guilty of buying into what he did early in the season a little bit too much, especially with his outside shooting. We heard over the summer that he had changed his shot and that he was a totally different player with his outside attacking, and it certainly looked like it through the early part of the season. He had a game that he went 3-for-3 from three-point range. And again, this is a player that made 6 threes all of last season. And he was at 6 threes through 6 games this year. And so I saw that and I thought maybe Wesley Iwundu can be the assassin that can go out and be that kind of player for you. But it has certainly quieted down that kind of play from him since we got to Big 12 play.
But again, I would just put that in the category of it's all fine and good if he improves three-point shooting. It makes him more of a threat. And he has. I mean, to his credit, he is a much better outside shooter this year than he was in the past. But I don't think for defenses it really changes the way that you defend him too much. You still say just don't let him drive to the basket. He's more athletic. If he's going to hit threes, fine. We'll let Wesley Iwundu beat us shooting threes. So ultimately it doesn't morph him all of a sudden into a guy that can take over games offensively. And, you know, I think the other thing that I would add to this discussion about, you know, is he the most important guy? Is he the guy that has to keep them getting it turned around and winning top 100 games here in the Big 12. I think it's just more about the collective group. Because there is no alpha dog in that group, because there is nobody that's really separated themselves from the rest of the group, I think it's just out of that six, you're starting five plus Xavier Sneed, you've got to have five of the six playing pretty well to beat a good team on a given night. And what we've seen through some of the losses this year is just two of them struggle. And I think when you have two of them struggle, two of the six, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to have a hard time beating good teams. And it doesn't matter if it's Wes. It doesn't matter who it is, which it has been Wes lately. I mean, the Texas Tech game, Wesley Iwundu had a pretty bad game. Barry Brown also struggled. They combined to go 5 of 17 from the floor, and you lose. Baylor, Wesley Iwundu, Dean Wade, didn't have good games, you lose. Maryland, it was Dean Wade and Xavier Sneed who were both scoreless. They didn't play well. You lost. So there's a common thread there. It's that you're relying so much on that group of six because of the depth issues and that you don't have Amonte Moore as someone that's going to get you 20 every night. You've got to make sure that consistently basically all but one of those guys are playing really well.
Well, and at the very least, if you have two or more of those guys that are struggling, at the very least it forces Austin Budke and Isaiah Maurice to combine for 8 or 10 points or something
sure.
like
you know,
that.
I mean, there's ways you can make up the difference. Yeah.
Right. But it's just not something that you're going to count on a night-in and night-out basis, especially against Big 12 competition.
Right. You could have Maurice pop for a nice game, Budke, whatever. You could also have one of the group of five go for 26, and then that lessens some of the burden, obviously, on everybody else, and you're probably going to try and get them more touches. Yeah, there are other ways around it. But as a basic formula, that, I think, is what we're looking at. Jabroni of the Week is in about 10 minutes. When we come back, meant to get this in earlier, but Tyler's trying to shut down a movement that I'm ready to pursue. But before we get to the next segment, lest I forget, it is time to register the first person this week for a shot at those four Royals Fan Fest tickets, a free stay at a hotel within walking distance, as well as $100 worth of Jack Stack barbecue. We'll give it away on Friday, but we'll register somebody every day, including right now, 537-1350, 866-776-1350, the phone numbers. Let's see, Danny Duffy just signed for 5 years. So we go caller five? That sound good?
Do it.
All right, caller five right now to 537-1350 or toll-free 866-776-1350. You're registered for a chance to win four Royals Fan Fest passes, $100 worth of Jack Stack barbecue, and a free hotel stay in Kansas City. You're listening to The Game.